Now today marks 70 years since world leaders gathered in Switzerland to sign the Geneva Convention, Laws of War. They've received, over the years, broad international support, and they, of course, followed the horrors of World War II, and yet warfare has continued. We're perhaps at a time in history we've never been more engaged in violent conflict. And the nature of that war has changed, of course, drastically over the decades. What does that mean for these conventions? Nicole Urban is an international lawyer and chair of the Laws of War Committee with the Red Cross in New South Wales. She joins us now. Nicole, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Can we just go back to these conventions? Can you take us through a quick cook's tour of the four treaties and what they cover?
Yes, the Geneva Conventions are the cornerstones of the law of war, which aims to reduce suffering during times of armed conflict. They're incredibly important, as the laws of war stand for the idea that wars have limits. They put humanity front and centre in conflict. The Geneva Conventions and their additional protocols are the most important rules of war. They protect people that can't take part in fighting, so the wounded, sick and shipwrecked troops and people in the detention of parties to a conflict. They also protect people that don't take part in fighting, so civilians, medics, aid workers. The four Geneva Conventions, there's four of them. The first two address fighting on land and at sea. The second addresses prisoners of war, and the fourth Geneva Convention creates protections for civilians.
Now, the original convention, I didn't know this. This is from the 1860s. So
that's
1949 was clearly a time when World War II had revealed the full horrific potential of war. What was significant about that timing of this reframing of the conventions in 1949?
Well, one of the most significant developments of the modern Geneva Conventions, which is the 1949 iteration, is that they provided protections for civilians. And this was in response to the horrors of World War II and the concept of total war, where you no longer had the situation where two states took to the battlefield and people outside of that battlefield were safe.
Mm.
One of the other significant innovations of the 1949 conventions is that they started to apply to what we call non-international armed conflicts, which is conflicts typically that involve non-state armed groups. Most modern conflicts now are non-international armed conflicts.
I was going to say, people listening to that description of what people were concerned about in 1949 will say, well, this is what has happened to the nature of warfare. Warfare has increasingly devolved into, off battlefields, into communities. It is a thing which now places civilian populations at extraordinary harm.
That's right. There's also an increasing tendency for wars to be fought in urban environments, which endangers civilians, especially children. Objects like schools, hospitals, all of these are put in danger. But that really emphasises the importance of why the Geneva Conventions, which provide for protection for these people and objects, need to be respected.
I was going to say, does this either points to the relevance or the redundancy of these conventions? I mean, if we look at a place like Syria, I know you wouldn't want to speak about specific confrontations, but, civilian tolls, civilian casualties, the harm done to ordinary people is extraordinary in so many modern conflicts.
That's right. The Geneva Conventions are universally ratified by 196 countries, but they're not universally applied.
But
to the extent that they are applied, and they are every day applied, they save hundreds of thousands of lives. Just because there's not total compliance is not a reason to give up the aim of trying to make warfare more humane. If anything, the evidence of non-compliance demonstrates how catastrophic it is.
This is slightly left-field proposition, Nicole, but I mean, we're talking here about the evolving nature of war, and one of the things that will almost certainly take place in wars to come will be the development of lethal artificial intelligence on those battlefields and the replacement of human soldiers as the prosecutors of war. What will that mean for the laws of war?
Well, the Geneva Conventions are actually written very broadly. They embody certain principles such as the requirement to distinguish between those in combat and those not in combat. And these principles are applicable in a general way, as has been demonstrated by their continued relevance to application to technologies that were beyond the imagination of the drafters in 1949, so lasers and drones. The next challenge is artificial intelligence. The Geneva Conventions are, of course, designed to be implemented by humans. So having logarithms make decisions is problematic. And there is a question about whether new laws needed to be developed to address these sorts of challenges. The Geneva Conventions are just the beginning of the process of the codification of the laws of war. There is the flip side to the concern that you raise, which is that the development of new technologies is actually an opportunity to improve compliance with the laws of war.
Of course.
So, for example, the developments that have been made in relation to surveillance technology have improved the military's capacity to more directly target legitimate targets at times and in places that limit the collateral damage to civilians.
It's an extraordinary anniversary. 70 years of those conventions is a remarkable thing. Nicole Urban, from the Laws and War Committee of the Red Cross in New South Wales, 70 years, Geneva Conventions. This is Drive on RN.